Taking as my cue this morning, the last verse from the reading that we just heard. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And I'm picking up at Anne's request to join in this little series of talks that I think you're having at the moment about well-being. And I've been asked to speak this morning about the biblical principles of emotional well-being. Sounds a bit highfalutin. Actually, I think it's quite simple. Over 20 years ago, our son passed his driving test. And as the examiner congratulated him and filled in the paperwork, he gave him a magazine designed for newly qualified drivers. And the magazine was called Drive On. Drive On. And it contained some useful articles and tips about how to drive safely as a new driver. But it also contained an article on smudging. Smudging. Now, smudging, I discovered, is the ancient practice of North American Indians, whereby resin or herbs, or sometimes both, are burnt, a bit like incense, in order to ward off evil spirits from the home. And this article, given in this magazine to newly qualified drivers here in the UK, said if you do this to your car, in your car, hopefully nowhere near the petrol tank, if you do this in your car, it will help you avoid having an accident and having a breakdown. Well, about you, but at the time I was more than a little amazed to see that New Age religion had permeated even into the business of passing one's driving test. And that story illustrates two things. Firstly, it illustrates just how far in recent decades our society has drifted away from the Bible. But secondly, it also gives the lie to the idea that in this secular, atheistic age in which we supposedly live, people have ceased to be spiritual, because they have not. It's as if modern, secular people just can't deny that part of them which is spiritual and which looks for something else other than the material and the physical around them. And nowhere is that more apparent, I think, than in the area of health and well-being. It was G.K. Chesterton who once said, "When people stop believing in God, they won't believe in nothing, they'll believe in anything." And how true that is. Yes, there have always been people who have believed in things like horoscopes and palm reading and reading tea leaves and stuff like that. But nowadays, people believe in UFOs, alien abduction, crystal healing, moon magic, I discovered, thanks to Google, that's a kind of witchcraft, feng shui, and a whole host of other weird and wacky things. Some New Age beliefs are relatively harmless, as long as you're mindful of the bogus science that usually lies behind it. But many other New Age beliefs are quite contrary and even hostile to Christian teaching. And the Christian needs to be on his guard. The ability of New Age religion to constantly reinvent itself is actually quite impressive. So this morning I've been asked to talk about emotional well-being and, crucially, about some biblical principles of emotional well-being. And I'd like to make four brief points. And if you've been a bit battered by the last 18 months, a bit worn down by lockdown, and feeling emotionally a bit drained, well, I hope you'll find these helpful. And the first one, it's very simple. We must remember that we are body, mind, and spirit. We are not just a body. We are not just a mind. We are not just a spirit. We are body, mind, and spirit. And we need a balanced approach to life that recognizes all three dimensions, and not only recognizes them, but realizes that they are interchangeable and connected and overlapping. Liz and I are helping our daughter at the moment. She's ready to move house, and she's looking at houses, and we've looked at I don't know how many houses over the last few weeks. And there's the traditional house, which some of us probably still live in, where you've got a dining room and a living room and a kitchen with walls between them. Yeah? Many of you, I'm sure, live in a house like that. But the modern way, which a lot of people are moving towards, is where the dining room merges into the living room, which merges into the kitchen. A house without walls. It's got these three areas, but there's no wall separating them. And that's an image, a metaphor for what the human body, the human person is. We are body, mind, and spirit. Three areas, if you like, but there are no walls between them. And each one impacts upon the other. So, for example, if we are physically tired or ill, God may seem distant because the physical affects the spiritual. Or if we persist in doing something we know to be wrong, we may well feel guilty because the spiritual affects the mental. Or if we're suffering from some kind of mental stress, that may well affect our physical and spiritual well-being, because all three are connected in a mysterious way. I think I'm right in saying that Anna's already touched on this in a previous sermon. She's mentioned, I think, the life of Elijah. And you may remember, if you were there, when Elijah got physically tired and hungry, his faith in God began to falter, because body, mind, and spirit are all interconnected. And we need to remember that. And we need to be aware that it's in all those three areas that we need to be thinking about our well-being. Second thing to realize, and I think it follows on, is if we want good emotional well-being, good emotional health, we need to beware of obsession. Beware of obsession. Obsession can take many forms. Some people are obsessed with eating. Some people are obsessed with not eating. Some people are obsessed with exercise. Other people, they're obsessed with sitting on the sofa. It's good to be clean and hygienic. What's wrong with that? But taken to an extreme obsession, it can destroy family life. A very good friend of mine, he was my best man many years ago, his family life fell apart because of an obsession with cleanliness. I haven't got time to go into details, but it destroyed the family. His wife was obsessed with cleanliness to the point of putting locks on doors and rules and regulations about what they could do and where they could go. There are all kinds of obsessions, some more harmful than others. And yes, it's possible to be obsessed about religion. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't take our faith really seriously. It means the world to us, and it impacts, I hope, on every area of our lives. But I'm sure we've all met that kind of person who is religious in a kind of scary, wild-eyed, obsessive kind of way. And in my experience, such people rarely show forth the love of Jesus or the love of God. One of my interests I like history, but an era of history that I find fascinating is looking at the early church fathers, particularly from the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th centuries of the Christian era. And particularly men and women, they were mostly men, who were ascetics. In other words, those who deliberately made their lives hard because they thought that would honour the Jesus who died and suffered for them. Well, one of the most bizarre was a guy called Simeon the Stylite. He lived in Syria near Aleppo in the 5th century. Simeon, at the age of 15, joined a monastery, but he was so extreme in the way he wanted to live his life that the monks asked him to leave. So he left and became a hermit, an ascetic. And what he did was he took to living on a small platform about a meter square on top of a pole. The Greek for pillar is stylos, so he became known as Simeon the Stylite. And he lived on top of a 10-foot pole on a little platform a meter wide. And after a few years, he had a new pillar built that was 50 feet high. And he lived on top of this pillar for 37 years. His food was hauled up to him on a little pillar system, and anything he wanted lowering down, I won't go into details, was lowered down on the pulley system. Now, I don't know whether to admire such a person or question their sanity. Maybe it is the calling of a few to honour Jesus in that way. But I can't find anything in the Bible to suggest it is the way that God calls most of us to live. Obsession can take many forms, including religious obsession. So, we are body, mind, and spirit, and we need to beware of obsession if we want to enjoy good emotional health. Thirdly, a third principle, enjoy life. Yeah, enjoy life. It's not unchristian or ungodly to have fun. Yes, there are times in life when discipline and self-denial are important, but not all the time, and certainly not to the point of self-harm or self-neglect. We all need to relax. We all need some downtime. In the Gospel, Jesus himself endorsed the teaching of the Old Testament, which says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus endorsed that teaching. But Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor instead of yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And one really important aspect of emotional well-being is to have a proper regard and love for oneself. To accept ourselves, to be kind to ourselves, rather than to be unduly harsh with ourselves. I'm sure you know that parable of the rich fool in Luke's gospel. The rich fool, he was a farmer and he had a bumper crop. Do you remember the story? And so he built big barns to hold all his crops. And he said to himself, I will say to myself, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. I will take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Now, was the man being reprimanded for wanting to eat, drink, and be merry? I don't think so. I think he was being reprimanded for wanting to do those things with no thought for eternity. The phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, is almost certainly an allusion to the book of Ecclesiastes, where we read this, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This is a gift from God. For without God, who can find enjoyment? There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. The story is told about the Apostle John when he was a very old man. And a hunter came across him one day, playing with a flock of doves. The hunter was surprised to find this great saint amusing himself in such a trivial way. John saw that the hunter was carrying his bow, and it was detached from its string, not ready for action. So John asked him, he said, why do you carry your bow like that? Well, explained the hunter, if it was constantly kept in tension, it would be no good. It would lose its bend, its power, its force. We have to relax the wood when it's not being used. Well then, said John, if even a piece of wood needs to relax, why should you be surprised to see me relaxing. We don't have to be killjoys to please God. We can please Him in the way that we work, rest, and play. But finally, lest you think I'm suggesting that we should all be selfish and only look after ourselves, a fourth biblical principle of emotional well-being is this. Think of others. Think of others. Now, when I say think of others, I don't mean in the sense in which there's always somebody worse off than yourself, although that is almost always true. That seems to me not quite the Christian way of going about things. When I say think of others, I mean think of them and then actually do something for them. Give them a call. Go and visit them. Take some flowers. Bake a cake. You see, doing things for other people moves the focus away from ourselves and onto them. And as a byproduct, yeah, it makes us feel good too, that we're doing something useful and kind and loving and generous. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Some years ago, the Times newspaper published a series of articles on 20th century saints. And it prompted one reader to send in a letter. And it said, "Dear Sir, thank you for your series about 20th century saints. I now realize the difference between me and them. I get emotional. They get involved." One factor that will help us enjoy good emotional health is to care for others. A final quote. Toyohiko Kagawa was a Japanese Christian who died in 1960. He was imprisoned for some years by the Japanese because he was critical of the Japanese war. And he once wrote this. "I read in a book that a man called Christ went about doing good. It is very disconcerting that I am so easily satisfied with just going about." Don't we all want to enjoy good emotional health? Well, remember, we are body, mind, and spirit, and we need to give attention to them all. Beware of obsession. Enjoy life and think of others.